Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Disclosure of pecuniary interests, speak now or before the item comes up. None said. Approval of agenda. Mover and seconder, please. Councilor Ferguson, Councilor Maiden, any discussion on the agenda? All in favor? Approval of minutes. Mover and seconder, please. Councilor Holmes, Mayor Lowry, any discussion of the minutes? All in favor? Carried. Consent reports. Committee board minutes to review or to receive. Mover and a seconder, please. Councilor Maiden, Councilor Ferguson. Any discussion on any of the consent reports? All in favor to receive? Carried. We'll move down to agriculture, wild parsnip, and organic farming with a recommendation. A mover and a seconder, please, for this recommendation. Councilor Holmes, Councilor Ferguson, discussion? All in favor of the recommendation? That's carried. We have an agriculture advisory committee recommend.
It's all together?
Yeah, except for the, because they're removed that you're giving staff to bring forward a report with, with the recommendation. So you might want to provide clarity when we get to the next one.
So this includes this.
And that.
And that.
Yeah.
So for clarification, this recommendation does include the Agriculture Advisory Committee recommendation number one. And number two, the Agriculture Advisory Recommendation two, that consider verifying all the mapping. So move on to staff reports, roads and public works, Ottawa Street intersection study with a recommendation. Mover and seconder, please. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, seconder. Councillor Holmes, discussion. Councillor Maiden.
My understanding is that we can sort of recommend it. I think stuff from table seven. I have had kind of a little bit of a list. If you'll indulge me on that. On page seven, or maybe just to. Okay, that's page 45. Table seven starts just for information. One of the things is develop new signal timing plans on Ottawa and Patterson crossing, north-south. And when the consultant was here, he recommended that traffic could remain stopped, providing the pedestrian time walking in the crosswalk before a concurrent signal is provided to vehicles, which gives them kind of a little bit of a head start before the vehicles start going. And I think, as I recall the discussion, a lot of people were quite in favor of that, and I am. He also said no right turns on red to prohibit vehicles from turning right during a red phase, which is legally permitted in Ontario to reduce conflicts with pedestrian crossings. That is of interest to me as well, but I think the price needs to be confirmed just for those two things. Because there's no cost estimate on that particular one. At Martin and Ottawa.
Excuse
Street.
Me, Councilor Maiden.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
Director Bergon, can you comment on that, please?
Thank you, Chair. The lead pedestrian intervals. I've had discussions with our engineer that handled our signal lights. They've indicated that the existing hardware is capable of doing that. So the cost will be minimal. It'll be their time in adjusting those lights, and we can take that out of the operations budget. As well, the no right turn on red, that is signage. So we'd have to have a bylaw, obviously, prohibiting that movement. And the council would have to clarify if they want that as 24 hours a day or during certain times of the day, the no right turn on red. or on Monday to Friday, in certain time intervals, but that is strictly signage that would be installed, and the cost is roughly $150 per sign for that kind of installation.
Councillor Maiden, continue.
Can I continue?
Yeah.
The second thing was at the Martin and Ottawa Street intersection. When it's coming southbound, perhaps there might be an additional lane adjustment there to have a dedicated left lane and add a through and right lane, because right now I think it's the other way around. And so traffic kind of gets backed up there a little bit. And that's right by the Milano's Pizza, if you're trying to visualize it. These are just suggestions. Three, the advanced stop bars.
Director Bergon?
Sorry?
Thank you, Chair. Obviously, Martin Street is a county road. Initially, when we the county asked us to repaint it last year and have a right turn lane and a combined straight and left turn lane, I believe it was later adjusted in the year to have a left turn lane and a combined through and right turn lane. So I believe that's the way it looks as of present today.
Mm. Just continuing on now. The advanced stop bar southbound on Sadler and Ottawa Street, eastbound at Patterson and Ottawa Street, just to improve visibility in those particular areas. And school crossing guards, the consultant didn't realize, I guess, at the time he presented to us, although he did recognize it that day, that we do have school crossing guards now. So we might want to put in the school crossing guards where they would be indicated, according to the consultant's report, by the schools. And table 7 about repainting all pavement markings, ladder crossing, painted all pedestrian crossings. I would hope that would be done by Public Works as part of their schedule in any case. And I thought it would be nice to have a couple of speed radar signs that we can relocate to other locations as required. And this is a little bit off topic, but I'm just wondering about the Pakenham radar signs we were going to put in and when they're going to be coming, but we can leave that till later. If you're driving westbound after Ottawa Industrial Street, there's a left turning lane that people kind of get stuck in, or they're trying to get into the right straight lane, maybe to have an overhead sign there. You'll see people trying to, I don't know whether that would really make any difference or not, but if it was overhead, then people who weren't used to coming into Elmont would realize that that particular lane turns left only, and because they're always, tourists especially, are trying to get into the right-hand lane kind of right up at the intersection there and sometimes through the intersection. And that's all I have.
Good. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Thank you, through the chair. I'd like to put a motion on the floor to, with the staff recommendation, that we accept Chart 6 and continue on with them recommendations, and then bring Chart 7 back to another meeting where we have time to look after everything, because Chart 6 is brings us up, everything's legal. It was legal there before we did got all this information. So I thought that's a staff recommendation. I think it's a good idea. So it gives us a chance to look at all the other recommendations and how it affects traffic. It's a big deal to start changing lights up there on the busiest street in Elmont without a little wee bit of thought, not the same night. So I hope we can defer that second part of the comments until next meeting, till we all had a better chance to get our direction straight. That's the staff recommendation, and I that's a motion on the floor. So.
Okay, so a seconder for that motion. We're going to divide the question. Councillor Ferguson, discussion?
So the motion that Deputy Mayor Minnelli put forward is to divide the question. So essentially you divide it so you deal with the first two pieces, the first that and the and that, and then the third, which was referring to table seven, would be a second motion. So right now you're just discussing the option to divide the question, not any of the main motions. You're just having a debate on if you want to divide this question or not.
So discussion, Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, I supported that, the motion, and I think there's some good points raised in number seven. And I didn't look at them in detail out of the six, but I didn't look at seven in detail that Councillor Maiden provided for us. So I would like that opportunity to look at it in more detail, because I think there's probably some costings that may not have been included. Is that correct?
Director Bergon?
Most of the options in Table 7 do have costs associated yes. with them. Certainly the ones that Councillor Maiden had pointed out earlier did not, because of the lateness of the request for them. But as I mentioned, those costs are not considered very high. Most of the other ones, I believe, though, do have costings associated with them. One of the ones that is a little tricky is those advanced stop bars that Councillor Maiden mentioned, because you're also dealing with what's in the pavement. There are several intersections that have electronic loops in the pavement, so it's not just a matter of pushing the bar back with paint. Then you're talking about taking those loops out and relocating them as well, so they could be quite costly to undertake something like that.
Director Bergon, I'm just going to interrupt for a sec. We're going to discuss on dividing the question right now rather than the content of it. Is that correct? Yep. Is there any discussion on dividing this question? So all in favor of dividing this question? Carried. So the first part of the recommendation, that the Committee of the Whole recommend Council receive the technical memorandum prepared by Parsons dated February 18, 2020, entitled Mississippi Mills Traffic and Safety Review as Information. And that the Committee of the Whole recommend Council direct staff to implement the recommended mitigation measures identified in Table 6 of the memorandum in 2020. So mover and seconder for that part of it. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, seconder. Councillor Holmes, discussion. Councillor Maiden.
With the recommendations on Table 6, I thought things like the bigger signs could probably wait. The signal timing adjustments I thought were really good. And I'm not sure about the lane line extensions, whether we really need that or not. But that was just my view on it.
Any further discussion on the two?
So go all in favor of just them two?
So all in favor of those two items? The Committee of the Whole... Sorry? Councillor Maiden?
Did you want to amend?
In a way, I wouldn't mind taking those two out, like to defer, or I don't want to defer them, but to take them out for the moment. Maybe we could reconsider them maybe next year, like to replace the street signs. I know the consultant thought they could be bigger. And the lane line extensions, I'm not sure whether most of the roads really need that. But anyway, I'm on page 41.
I just didn't hear your second motion.
Oh, the lane line extensions, you know, the little dots you can follow.
Is that being amendment?
So a seconder for that amendment. Councillor Holmes, discussion on that amendment. Councillor Holmes.
So I think we're moving really quickly here with taking out and putting in. And I don't necessarily disagree with what Councillor Maiden's saying, but I'd like to hear from our Public Works director on what his thoughts are on these before I made any decisions on taking out these different issues on table number 6.
Mayor Lowry, do you want to go ahead or do you want the director? Director Burgon, can you speak to that, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With respect to the two items under consideration, namely the larger signs, obviously council directed us to hire traffic experts to look at the issues with these intersections. And these are the recommended improvements that they put forward. As Councillor Maiden did identify, we do have a lot of tourists that do come to town, and having these larger signs at minimal cost to change the sign just to make it more apparent would definitely help people focus more on the intersection rather than looking for a sign that's very difficult to see off to the side of the road. Certainly some municipalities even have them on the traffic signal lights that are overhanging the road. So I would certainly recommend that one move forward. With respect to the painted lines delineating the turning movement, we had one accident last fall that I recall seeing because I drove by just after it happened. And what had happened is the person turning left and going eastbound on Ottawa Street, turning left onto Sadler, drove right into the left turn lane and struck the car that was in the left turn lane because the intersection is quite large and they didn't make an appropriate movement. So by painting, again, minimal cost to paint those lines, it just keeps people in the right location and directs them into a safe location. So I don't see any issues with the recommendations put forward by our traffic experts, and I would stand by their recommendations.
Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to speak to, not in support of the amendment. I think these are minimal cost options to help pedestrian movement and help vehicular movement in these three intersections. I don't see any reason why not to include them. I think, not to repeat what the director had said, but just thinking about other communities, I know it's quite easy when you're here and living here all the time. We're coming into the summer season where we're going to have a lot more tourists, and if they're looking for signage and they're looking off to the side, it's harder to do so. So if we could at least provide larger signage that is off to the side, then I think, you know, this is going to be something that can be helpful. And any of those with wider intersections, when there's a lot of space, it's, you know, not a whole lot of money per intersection to try to keep everybody where they're supposed to be, which should help the safety of pedestrians, which I know is a priority for this council.
Councillor Holmes.
On table 6, it recommends remove school crossing sign, but I think that we need to take out because actually we need it because we do have school crossing guards.
Director Burgon.
Through the chair, at the meeting where the consultant was here, as you correctly identified earlier, the consultant was unaware because when they did their study, it hadn't been implemented as yet. I'm in the verbiage in the actual text of the report. They indicate that there is now a crossing guard and the signage need not be removed, so we would not remove that sign.
Any more discussion on this amendment? Councillor Holmes.
Again, through the chair to the Director of Public Works, the ladder crosswalks. I'm wondering if that's something he recommends also.
Director Bergon.
Yes, through the chair, absolutely. We certainly did implement them at the intersection of Patterson, Menzie, and Ottawa Street last year when there was concerns brought forward as to the visibility of the crosswalks and improving safety. So those were implemented there. So I would wholeheartedly support them at all three intersections.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the amendment? Defeated. So the first two parts. So any further discussion on the first two parts of this recommendation? All in favor of the first two parts of this recommendation? That's carried. We go to the third now. So we're down to the third part of the recommendation. The Committee of the Whole recommend Council direct staff with respect to any other potential mitigation measures identified in Table 7 that the Council would like to implement it in 2020. A mover and seconder for that part of this recommendation. Councilor Dreyer, Councilor Maiden, discussion. All in favor of this part of the recommendation? Sorry? Okay. Okay. Can someone suggest an amendment to this part?
So basically what you have here, you're voting on Table 7, but you haven't specified what you want in Table 7. I know that you put a number of things on the table in terms of that. I'm wondering if it might be just as simple to go through what Councillor Maiden had, one by one. I know it's going to be slow, but I don't think that as a package, you're all going to support all of the items that you put there. So one by one would be the simplest and probably the clearest way to say we've done them all. Just because I just was doing some quick math on some of these, your speed displays, $7,500 each, just one. The advanced stop bar, I think, was about $5,000 was the maximum total on that. $250 for the lane adjustments, you're at $13,000. Mm. So there is some numbers here that we have to be cognizant of. But you do need to provide an amendment. Otherwise, there's nothing. There's no direction in that motion to get staff to do anything.
Is that amendment to the motion that's on the committee? Yeah. So she's amending the motion. You amended the motion, the second part of the
No. This Table 7 has not been amended whatsoever. The motion, as it states, is to have Council provide staff with direction on what aspects of Table 7 to implement. So if you pass this motion, it says nothing. Okay, you have to amend it in order for it to actually cause any action.
Councilor Holmes?
They've talked about that, but it's pretty straightforward.
Madam Clerk, you can clarify that.
So just to provide some clarity here for members around the table and for the gallery, the third part of the motion reads that the Committee of the Whole recommends that Council direct staff with respect to any other potential mitigation measures identified in Table 7. But we don't. If we pass that motion, we're not saying anything. So what we're asking here for is to go through each additional item one by one, so that councillors can give some clear direction and understand the potential costing of each item rather than doing it as one lump. So I believe, for example, there was signage, no turning on right, extending lanes, things like that. So if you go through one by one, Chair, I think that might be okay. The easiest. I think we just take, we'll remove that and then start with, it doesn't need to be an amendment, just okay. Do it as a new motion each time.
Okay, so I'll do a new motion for each item. Is there any questions before we get started?
So if we have to strike, if we have to withdraw this motion, so if the mover and seconder are okay withdrawing that motion.
The third part of the recommendation. Yeah. Okay, so we need a mover and seconder to start here to withdraw the third part of the recommendation. Okay. Is the mover and seconder okay with withdrawing the third part of the recommendation? Okay. Are we good? And then before we go with each item, Councillor Ferguson has a question.
Yes, thank you. Well, what happened, Deputy Mayor Minnelli's deferral, specifically to number 7? I think we agreed there was a lot of valuable information there, but not everyone had the opportunity or took the same opportunity to read number 7 in detail. So where did that end up?
Go ahead.
So there was a motion to divide the question, but there was no motion to defer. Should council wish to defer this matter, then we can put a motion to defer.
I think that was Councillor Deputy Mayor Minnelli's motion, wasn't it, to defer number 7 for further review?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And bring it back at another date so we'd have time to look at it and go over each one individually. I think that was my motion.
Your motion was to divide.
Divide, so okay.
Divide, but we never had a motion on that
so
second.
So you can put a motion on the floor to.
Well, I'll.
Okay. Now, Councillor. Okay, Councillor Ferguson, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll put a motion on the floor then. We defer number 7, table 7 rather, for further discussion and review. And yeah.
Okay. A seconder for that? Deputy Mayor Minnelli, discussion? All in favor? Sorry, discussion?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so I'm wondering if before we come back, if we could get some costing for these items so we can have a maybe a bit of a better discussion whenever we do come back.
Yes. CAO Kelly.
So again, this is asking for you to provide direction. There's nothing in there to say staff are to do anything or to come back with a report to you or anything like that. You defer this, you're going to get this motion back again.
Yep.
Okay. Exactly the way it is.
Yeah.
And that committee of the whole recommend council direct staff. You're not directing staff to do anything. Okay. With regards to the cost, councillor, the cost estimates are on the side in the tables. And I don't want to speak for the director, but I don't think the costings are going to get any more exact than what you have in the table. Are they, director? So you're deferring a motion that's going to come back to you that's going to have the same thing before you, unless you tell us what you want us to do.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Well, I think that was the plan because we did know that we were going to review all this information tonight. The motion that Councillor Ferguson put forward is to have the motion come back exactly the same way it is next council meeting, so we have time to review table 7. And give direction. Is that right, Councillor Ferguson? That was the intent of the motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor of Councillor Ferguson's motion?
You can't defer without having another, like having a date. Was the intention that it's the next meeting?
Next
Sorry,
next
I'm
council meeting.
Speaking without being recognized, but. Is the intention of the motion that it's the next meeting? Because I hadn't heard that.
March 17th.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said. Next council meeting.
Yeah. Okay, so we're good? Okay, all in favor of Councillor Ferguson's motion? Carried.
tried to give some notes.
Yeah, the most important one is that one.
Yeah.
That's why this whole thing was done to begin with.
Okay, we're on to building and planning with a recommendation. The official plan and zoning bylaw amendment, OPA 23, pages 121 to 148. Mover and seconder, Mayor Lowry. Councillor Ferguson, discussion. All in favor of this recommendation? Councillor Dryden.
I would actually like to have a discussion with regards to the removal of the berm and dropping the fence from 1.5 meters to 1 meter. And I'm not exactly sure this is a really good idea, because I know that there has been issues other parts of the municipality where people in town have used the farmland as an easy place to dispose of chrysanthemums and things that they have in their yard. My other thought is, if you have a railing in your house, it has to be a minimum of 42 inches. And we're saying that they're saying they want to have it dropped to 36 inches. So it's good. It's actually lower than a regular railing would be. So we're taking off all of the divider between the farm and the townland.
Do you want to word an amendment in here?
I would like the berm to be left, and I would like the fence to be left at a higher, it's 18 and a half inches. I think the difference is enough to stop someone from assuming that the farmland is accessible. So I'd like that part, which is the to reduce the height of the privacy fence from 1.5 to 1 meters, and to exempt the requirement for the berm. I would like that part possibly removed.
You follow, Jean?
On the motion, I have that it's a minimum of 1 meter fence and no berm shall be required on the south property line of the site. You would like that to be struck out of the motion?
I would like it to be struck out, so that there still will be a 1.5 meter fence and a berm will be required, so that there's some privacy to the farm. The farm will not... There's supposed to be a buffer between town and agriculture, and this is going to basically remove that buffer zone.
Director Dwyer.
Thank you. So what you see on the screen in front of you is a portion of the elevation and side profile for the building. Specifically, it's the location of the retaining wall, plus a row of coniferous trees along the top of the retaining wall. It does still show the privacy fence, which is here. Okay. The request to remove the berm in particular had to do with the fact that the site tapers dramatically towards the water, and as a result, the berm may not maintain a set height all the way across the property. However, the intention is to still have a very clear buffer between the building and the usable space by the tenants and that adjacent property line. So the berm in and of itself will be composed of a retaining wall that tapers down. The continuous row of coniferous trees will continue all the way down, and a fence of 1 meter will be continued all the way down. If you would like to increase that height to 1.5 meters, I would suggest that is still doable, although it will still be invisible between the units and the farmland because of that row of coniferous trees. But I would suggest that we leave the requirement to diminish or remove that berm, and we will take a look at it in closer detail at the time of site plan approval when we know for sure what the grading and drainage on the site is going to look like.
I still feel, even though there's going to be trees planted, I still think the 1.5 meters it, again, is closer to what a building code standard for a railing would be. So I'm not sure why we would want to have only a 1 meter fence when people are going to be on a that much of a cliff or that much of a divide.
So, Councillor Girard, you're moving this amendment?
I wanted to bring it forward as something to look at. I think that it's something that we should be looking at due to the fact that it's actually a lower fence than what a railing in a house would be, and I think that that should be discussed.
CAO Kelly.
Director of Planning, if we approve this recommendation now at 1 meter, is that going to tie your hands at site plan?
Through the chair, provided the fence is not less than 1 meter, then there isn't a problem. If the developer came in later and wanted a 0.8 meter high fence, that would be a problem. If they came in and asked for a 3 meter high fence, that would not be a problem.
But if we require, if we want a 1.5 meter, yet we've given this approval at 1 meter.
No, the wording on the requested relief is a minimum of 1 meter.
Minimum of 1 meter.
Okay, fine. I my thought process is that if we have a child can climb over a 1 meter fence. So I thought it would be best if on the side of a house you have to have more than 1 meter. I think that we should also have that in the country as well, or in the exterior.
Okay, so you want to move this amendment, and I'll ask for a seconder. No seconder. So back to the recommendation. Any further discussion on the recommendation itself? All in favor of the recommendation? Carried. Finance and Administration. In addition to the municipality's name reserve list, Mr. Herb Pragnell. Mover and a seconder for this, please. Mayor Lowry, Councillor Ferguson. Discussion. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
All I can say is it's the first time I almost heard the word heritage, because his nickname was Heritage Herb Pragnell, so he did quite a bit for the town of Elmont.
All in favor of this recommendation? Carried. Notice of motion. Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I want to recognize that I'm providing this notice of motion verbally, which would mean that it will appear on the next committee of the whole agenda, so it wouldn't be discussed until then. But I thought it would be timely, just given some of the concerns in the community over the last few days. It is up on the screen for folks to see. I'll read it as well, and as I say, I recognize that it won't be discussed this evening. So my notice of motion is, whereas the Ottawa Valley Recreation Trail has been open since fall 2018 and is managed by Lanark County, and whereas Lanark County committed to conducting a two-year review of operations, and whereas a portion of the OVRT runs through all three wards within Mississippi Mills and is used by many residents, and whereas concerns have been raised by residents regarding the proper and safe use of trail by all users, therefore be it resolved that Council of the Municipality of Mississippi Mills supports Lanark County's two-year review of the OVRT, and be it further resolved that the Council of the Municipality of Mississippi Mills encourages Lanark County to engage with the public on suggestions for improvement. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And as Mayor Lowry stated, we'll be talking about that on the March 17th meeting. Information items. We don't have a mayor's report tonight. County councilor's report. Mayor Lowry, are you doing that tonight?
I am this time. I think Deputy Mayor Minnelli is up next time. Sorry, let me just get to the right page. So the county notes are there. I had shared the community homelessness prevention initiative funding allocation of 1.3 million for 2020 to 2021, and the portions for the community housing renewal strategy is there as well. Council did approve to support the Planet Youth Initiative and provide United Way of Eastern Ontario $10,000, and that was coming from the 2019 surplus. It was first earmarked to come out of modernization funding. I again raised my concerns about that funding coming from modernization, and Council ended up supporting that. We could find another place for that money to come from. Certainly the Planet Youth Initiative is something I think we all wanted to support, but I did appreciate that County Council had some movement on what was being what was coming out of the modernization funding allotments. And then the fourth out of the County Council is that Deputy Mayor Minnelli has been appointed as the Mississippi Mills rep for the OVRT Promotions Committee. This is a new committee. There's a member from each municipality. And actually, perhaps Deputy Mayor, you can correct me. Is it OVRT Promotions specifically, or is it Trails Promotions?
I think it's ORVT promotion only, and we haven't had our first meeting. Our first meeting will be the Wednesday before council at 3 o'clock. Okay. So,
yeah, because I hadn't seen any terms of reference just yet. Yeah. So that's on the council side. We had Public Works and Economic Development as well that evening. So out of the Public Works Committee meeting, and this is at the committee level. It is not going to be approved at council level until our next meeting, but at committee level, several tenders and proposals were approved. The ones that relate to Mississippi Mills is the rehabilitation of Appleton Side Road. It's a continuation. They've been working on that for several years. That's going to Kavanaugh. The rehabilitation of Tatlock Road up in Clayton, that's going to Arnott at $815,000. And the McLean Bridge, which is the bridge out in front of the Elmont Old Town Hall, was at committee level awarded to DW Building Restoration Services. I would note that they are not, they were not the lowest bidder on the project. They were the second lowest bidder. The lowest bidder didn't have experience with this kind of rehabilitation work. The director had assured me that this company, though, has, so that's where they were going with this recommendation. On the Economic Development Committee side, there was a couple, there was an approval, the red line revision approval for the Mill Run subdivision, and there was a deferral of the Ottawa Valley Recreation Trail. They've been doing some work to do, to comply with accessibility standards. And what had been presented to us was to designate wilderness and accessible sections of the trail. It is challenging at the county in that they don't have an accessibility committee, and at this time they haven't done any public consultation on what those AODA standards need to look like. So I had raised that concern at the at our Economic Development Committee meeting, and I also had raised the concern that as the county we can't simply determine what is wilderness and what is accessible. If we're going to call it a multi-use trail, a wilderness section has certain parameters that would need to meet. It can't simply be that we've determined that it's wilderness. And what the county was looking to do is call the urban sections accessible and the rural sections wilderness. I do certainly understand that there's reservations in making the entire trail accessible. It would be a rather onerous process. However, it's been deferred for further consideration of what that trail needs to be considered and what kind of public consultation needs to occur so that we are meeting AODA standards. So I'm not sure when that will be coming back. We didn't get a firm date from the CAO on that, but it'll be coming back at a further meeting of the Economic Development Committee. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions on the County Councilor's report? Councilor Maiden.
Just for clarification through the chair to Mayor Lowry, I thought accessibility committees were a statutory committee, but the county doesn't have one, or is it that only lower tier? Does anyone know the answer to that?
I might defer to the clerk on this. What has happened at the county, they are generally not in the recreation business, and typically are not seeing things where accessibility standards are something that they're having to consider. The striking committee did put out applications or did request applications for an accessibility committee, and they really didn't get any feedback that way. So I believe there are other ways that you can go about getting that public input, and I would defer this to the clerk, who's more learned in the AODA standards than myself. But I'm concerned that we have not met those standards at the county at this time with this report as it had been presented. So that's why I had suggested we do a little bit more work, and it was just deferred. But I would ask you to comment on that if I've got it entirely right.
Mostly. So the county has been trying for a while to create an accessibility advisory committee. They've been looking to us as to help them because we're the longest standing advisory or accessibility advisory committee. We're also, there's only two municipalities in Lanark County that have accessibility advisory committees, us and Carleton Place. It's mandatory for any municipality with over a population of 10,000 to have an accessibility advisory committee. That's why it's only our two municipalities that have them. Lanark County, being an upper tier, has slightly different rules. However, with any redevelopment or significant redevelopment of any public space, be it recreation, be it a municipally owned building or anything like that, it does require consultation with members or with individuals who are have accessibility needs. So that is why I know the clerk has been trying to figure out a way for the county to have to meet this criteria through a committee, and they're having some issues, but it is something that they're trying to tackle.
Okay. MVCA report. Councillor Holmes.
Yeah. So I would just highlight that the 3.5% municipal levy, we've already put that into our budget, but it was the levy this year for the Mississippi Valley Conservation. And the watershed conditions and outlook, as of this report on February the 20th, there was no forecast for flooding. However, having said that, there is a lot of water in the system. And, you know, given the conditions right now, I haven't seen any updates, but I'm sure there's going to be a one or two in the next day or so.
Any questions on the Conservation Authority report? Get a mover and a seconder to receive the information list. Mayor Lowry, Councilor Ferguson, anything to be polled? Nothing. All in favor to receive the information list? Carried. Meeting calendars, any additions or edits for March? Councillor Holmes?
I think this is more a question for the clerk and all the things that went on tonight. I totally forgot it. Forgot that I need to table a motion to amend an item on the round table from the Agriculture Advisory Committee. Is there any opportunity for me to do that now?
Well, that was from council. We're now in COW. Why don't we discuss afterwards and figure out the best way?
So nothing with the meeting calendars. We'll move on to other new business. Councillor Ferguson?
Just out of curiosity, and I'm certainly not an alarmist, I hope, but how is our emergency plan in reference to the virus that you hear so damn much about now that it seems to be affecting everybody but Canadians so far to date somewhat severely? But are we in good shape for that, or is there anything that we should be doing or liaising with any particular groups or anything to make sure that we are in somewhat reasonable shape?
CEO Kelly.
I guess to try and answer this as best I can. This is actually a provincial matter, but just to give you some idea, the fire department has actually, they do have equipment if they have to respond that they can use. So basically their PPE, their masks, et cetera. But for the most part, the protocol seems to be that when somebody calls 911, they are to be questioned whether, as the, as the numbers ramp up in Ontario, if they do, then the protocol is going to be when somebody calls 911, they're going to be asked at that point in time, what are the symptoms and things like that, such that when paramedics show up on site, they're already prepared either with their gear or are able to get into their gear before they actually, try and pick up a patient or something like that, which is part of the protocol to try and contain the spread of virus to medical staff. Is there a role for the municipality, I guess is what you're asking. What do we do? And basically it starts at the provincial level. So we'd be taking our lead from the province if they required anything. But our preparedness plan doesn't speak to actions of what we would do.
Mayor Lowry.
Tell everyone to wash their hands. Wash their hands and then wash their hands again.
Maybe to another side of emergency preparedness, the municipal emergency preparedness group is meeting tomorrow morning and will be starting its work to prepare for what we see as the flooding conditions, which I believe Deputy Mayor Minnelli just referred to. So we will be meeting on a minimum weekly basis to start that process of ensuring that we have information coming in and that we are ready to respond, that our staff are doing what they can to get ahead of that as best we can. On maybe another note.
Anything further? Nope. We're going to pending list. Any comments on the pending list tonight? None said. Mover and seconder for adjournment, please. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, Mayor Lowry. All in favor? We are adjourned.